And they rose up and complained so much and accused God and accused Moses. They were rebelling and everything else that finally God said, you're not going to get in. You're going to wait till the next generation grows up. That was the Moses generation. Even Moses didn't get in. And then the two spies that saw the land and had faith that God could take it were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua always would be spending his time with Moses and in the glory and the presence of the Lord, but you don't see him figure very much in the story until later on. And when that first generation died out, and incidentally, the phrase that our lifespan is 70 years, or maybe by strength 80 years, is in the Psalms, and it's referring to that generation in the desert. It's not referring to our lifespan. Our lifespan is 120 years max. And that's exactly what you see go on. It's not 70 years, just so you know that. But the generation that came out of Egypt was not going to survive. Next generation is the Joshua generation. And they're going to come in. They're going to possess the land. They're going to rise up and be all that God says they are to be. That's why this message is important. They're going to, and for us, it's like we need to rise up and receive what Christ paid for. Now listen. Today, we need a generation of believers. It's time. It's been prophesied for a couple of decades now. I remember teaching this, starting to teach this in 1997. And I got pushback from church people and pastors and everything else. And it was God telling me, start to teach it. Start to teach it. And we're here. This is time for the Joshua generation to rise up. You go in to possess the land. And some have taught things like the high places of our culture are like the mighty cities that were in Canaan. Seven mountains possessed by the enemy. There's mountains like education and government and religion and technology and, you know, you could name the mountains. We're to go in. We're to go in. And we go in with the power of God. I was just talking with Mark here, Blanchard, earlier before the service, and, you know, his company, which started a few years ago, is being blessed like crazy. He says, you know, I'm just following God. Ian, God's opening the doors, and that's what it's like. As you say, I believe the promises of God. I'm going in. So God's raising up a Joshua generation right now. And guess who the Joshuas are? It's us guys that are north of 60. If you know what I mean. Well, all right, pick 55. It is. It's not time to retire. And you might retire from your secular kind of your work, whatever it is. No, listen, we need the people now who've walked in revival. We got generation of believers that they're hungry for God, they're going for God and everything else. You know what? They haven't seen what we saw, Barry, me, you know, and others, Mark. They haven't seen that. That's like Joshua was. He saw the display of the mighty works of God coming out of Egypt. And he had to have faith for it. So, now, this is going to get into how to apprehend this, because I want to teach you a little bit today, if I can get it all in here, how to apprehend the promises of God by faith. So now let's go to Joshua 18. This is interesting. I have to put that up. I'll just read it for you. We don't need to read it together. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received or taken their inheritance. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you be slack to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Interesting thing that happened was God had already subdued the land and they hadn't gone in to possess it, these seven tribes. How did he subdue it? It wasn't like there's enemies still there. He even drove them out with hailstones and wasps and hornets and you name it. All these things happened, and the land's subdued, but they're all congregating together there at Shiloh because that's what they were used to, meeting there with Joshua and Moses at the tabernacle. It's like us here, see? And he says, how long are you going to wait? Go on in and get it. Go get the promises. Go get what God's made. And I got to say that, are you as a Christian feeling a stirring to go and possess something, but you're waiting at Shiloh? Or you're going to rise up and say, no, I'm going to start learning how to believe the Word of God and what who He says I am and walk it out. And that's kind of what happened to me. When I left pastoral ministry, I had a good salary and everything, and I went plunging into, you know, a situation where I didn't have much money. And oh boy, did I struggle. I was just crying out to God, you know, and I was like crying, oh God, help, oh, you know, on and on and on. And finally the Lord spoke to me. You know, I'd even have these people, I'd be over in Holland, I remember very well, in a church, and there's some prophetic people at the end of the service. I'm praying for people, prophesying stuff, and somebody comes up, he's a prophet, and he comes up to me, lays hands on me, and he says, Terry, I see a big bag of money hanging over your head. Boy, did I need that. And I would say to him, praise God, I don't know how to get it down. And I would get this same prophecy several times over the years. And I thought, God, what you doing? I'm crying, oh God, help me, and everything else. And the Lord said to me, I took you out of the church and out of a salary because I want you to learn how to receive from me. You see, when the Holy Spirit would speak to me, like today or any other time, when I know the Holy Spirit's to me, I can do anything. The Holy Spirit says, boy, I'll tell you, I'm just like a bulldog. I can get it. But what about the Word of God? I realize I didn't know how to get what the Word said was mine. When the Spirit in me stirred, I could rise up. But what the Word said was a different thing. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to learn how to do that. So do we have an inheritance? Yes, we do. Romans 8:17. Read that with me. And if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. And there's a whole lot more like that. We have an inheritance. Even we're told in Galatians in more detail than that, we have an inheritance in Christ to Abraham's inheritance. Why was Abraham blessed? That he might be a blessing to the nations of the earth, it says in Genesis. We have an inheritance so that we become a blessing, so that our place going into the land blesses where we go. Every place the soles of your feet walk, you are to possess. You are to walk in God. We are to bring in the kingdom, the glory, the presence of God. It's not like holding church. And the dark powers of the enemy will flee. One of the understandings is, it says in Peter and other places, we're a royal priesthood. That means we function as priests and as royalty. Here, we're functioning as priests. What do you mean? Well, we're worshiping God. We're praising the Lord. We're ministering to the Lord. We'll pray for each other. We minister to each other. That's priestly stuff. We intercede. That's priestly stuff. We're doing all the priestly thing today. But when you get out there, you have a royal anointing. Royal anointing takes the governmental authority we have as a position in the kingdom of God and applies it to whatever our sphere of influence is, starting with our homes and then out into the world, into our family. That's the royal anointing. We have both. We have both. And, the royal anointing subdues an enemy and enforces righteousness, brings in the kingdom of God, that sort of thing. So there we go. We got this inheritance that we can enter into, what God says we have. Now let's look at some of the promises. And this is where I struggle because, you know, I'm praying, God, how come you're not supplying my needs? And I'd see these promises. You ever read these? Say, how come it doesn't work, God? Okay, let's read them. John 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then, all right, Lord, I've had that happen sometimes, but not very often. You know, I want it more. How do I get more? How do I get every time, like it says, anything? Well, how about another one? Here, let's make us mad here. John 16:23. Okay, ready? Assure you, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, say it out with me, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Oh boy, what a life. Wouldn't we like to have that? Listen, Joshua generation's going to have that. That's what this is all about here. He's generating, you know, like the joy. He's generous. He's loving. Let's do another one, okay? This will really get under your... like a burr in your saddle here. 1 John 5:14, let's say it together. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked from him. Whoa. So now we're getting a clue. How do I go about doing this thing? I'm not passively saying, oh, God, your will be done. You can't be passive. There's the word receive, you know, if you ask and receive, that your joy may be full, is lambano in Greek. It doesn't mean passive. It's take. Take it. Receive the Holy Spirit. You take the Holy Spirit. Ask and receive. You take. Mark 11, you could say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. Whoever asks, believing what he says will come to pass, shall have what he says. That's a pretty profound statement. And so we're entering into this incredible kind of thing. We don't passively say, okay, God, your will be done. You know, I'm in my business, or I'm in my school, or my blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. He says, find out his will. If you can find out his will, then you can pray with confidence. You know he will carry it out. And it could be about anything. When you know his will, then you can get a hold of that and be tenacious. And you can see it come to pass. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. You know, so this is what started to happen with me with the finances and with some other things, some wisdom. Well, I'll give you an example. I soon had a door open to go to city council and do the videos there. So I still produce the video. And you know, when I got there, I found that now I'm not a pastor. I mean, I'm traveling, preaching. I'm fine doing that. But at city council meetings, I was intimidated. Man, I was intimidated by all these folks. Now, they're just people. But I was intimidated. And I would go home from the meeting saying, God, what is wrong with me? And so the Lord began to address this stuff. And I began to see the promises of God who talked about boldness and confidence and address those over myself. I am who you say I am. And then I began to apply the love of God. Lord, give me your love for them. You said, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 5:16, I think it is. And so, Lord, put your love for these city councilors in and for the city. And you know, it began to transform my life. I'm not a bit intimidated anymore. Instead, I feel the compassion and the love of God. Oh, God, bless them. Oh, Lord, you give them wisdom. You want to prosper Campbell River. And you've heard me on the radio saying stuff like that. Because the Lord wants to prosper our city. He loves Campbell River. And I started declaring those sayings on the radio when we finally got the radio station. And they're coming to pass. I'm telling you, we have won so many awards as a city. I don't know if you're following this. It blows your mind. God is on Campbell River blessing the city. And I know one of the reasons is because I'm declaring God loves Campbell River. I'm blessed, like it says with Galatians and the blessing of Abraham, so that I might be a blessing. And I thought, fine, I'm going to bless. And it works. You start to bless that person in that nasty situation you're battling with, and don't curse them, don't agree with Satan anymore. Stop agreeing with the accuser. For crying out loud, he's got enough he's doing now. Stop it. Stop it with the news you watch. Stop it with all this. Stop agreeing with the devil. Start agreeing with God. And you start saying, Lord, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting their trespass against them. That's a scripture. And he's given me the ministry of reconciliation. So I'm not coming on the basis of their trespasses. I'm coming on the basis of the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. And I pray for them, I interact with them, I bless them that way. You see what I'm saying? That's the way you go out. That's the way you go out. So here we go. Let's go to the next scripture. Ask. Abide and ask. John 16:7. Let's say it out loud. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, so here's the thing I'm talking about, you will ask whatever you desire, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And so we're not passively saying, your will be done. We're actively praying what is revealed. So now let's take an example here. Go to James 1:5. Now this may be something that you need to apply in your life right now. Lord, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I've got a decision in front of me, and you're praying like that. Oh, God, tell me, oh, blah, 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 you know. And you got some situation, not something that's a Bible will thing, you know. But maybe you got two alternatives for work or some solve a problem. And so you need wisdom. Wisdom is a revelation of what to do. So what? Here's an example. James 1:5. I don't know if you can read. Oh, you can read it up there better. Okay. Let's read it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that person, that man, suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So here we got God saying, I'll give you wisdom if you ask, believing me that I'll give it to you. Don't doubt. Don't doubt means you're questioning it. Now, how many times I've done this, Karen and I have done this so many times, and we ask for God's wisdom on the situation. Now, it doesn't mean it lands on you right then, but you leave it with him. Thank you, Lord. Because faith says thank you. Faith is not begging and begging and begging and begging. Faith says thank you because it's true. If I ask and I believe it, he'll give me liberally. I'll have the solution. Thank you, Jesus. And I leave it. You know, I was thinking about, what was his name? George Washington Carver, the peanut guy. And way back like 100 years ago, here's this black guy down in the South, set up a little lab, began to research on the peanut, all the different things they could do with the peanut in the cotton fields. Slavery's over. And what could they do? He would go and lock himself in his lab and begin to ask God for wisdom. And God started revealing things. He wrote revelations like hundreds of products you can make from peanuts. He ended up starting a college, a university down there. See, this is the thing. This is what we need in medical research. This is what we need in government. Oh, we got all these terrible, stupid problems coming up in the media all the time and all the nasty stuff going on. Oh, by goodness, you need a wisdom of God. God will solve the problem. God loves Canada. He'll sort it out. We just need some people there who listen to him, right? And if they're not listening to him, you start to bless him. You devil, get off my government in the name of Jesus. I bless Justin Trudeau and his government. Holy Spirit, start talking to them so loud they can't ignore you. You know, and you start to bless them, man. Get in this flow of this thing. It's so good. You know what's neat about this thing? You get into the flow of it, you get happy. You get happy because the Spirit of God's saying, yes, Terry, yes, yes, more, more. And you just go with it. And stuff starts to happen. It does. So anyway, now we're going to get into this interesting diagram that I made. So this is kind of like, I just kind of thought of this thing. Here's a cycle of how it works. Starting at the top, Psalm 119:89 says, the word of the Lord is forever established in the heavens. I mean, that's how he created the earth, right? His word. That's how he created the earth. Now, Jesus came, and he says several places, not just John 12:49, that his words are not his own, they're his Father's. And then his instructions to the church in the book of Acts, when we make disciples, they'll teach them to obey all I've commanded you. You know? For Joshua, he was told, be bold and have great courage to obey all that Moses commanded in the law. For the believer, we're told, believe and obey what Jesus said. That's an Acts. So his words come from heaven. His words come from the Father. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the word. So I take the word of God, I believe the word of God, faith rises up, and I've got something more than I started with here. I've got faith. I've got this active power of God at work. Faith is the gift of God. Okay? It's how you got saved in the first place. Somewhere along the line, you heard the word of God, and the gift of God came in with faith, rose up, and then you acted on it. You put the word in your mouth. There it is. You believed in your heart. You put the word in your mouth. You confessed Jesus as Lord, and it happens. Because God did it. Because God empowers the Word that way. His Word has got that power. So it's the same thing exactly with other areas, like I'm asking the Lord for wisdom. Well, if I see He tells me I can ask for wisdom and receive it, I get that scripture so into my heart until faith starts. You might not believe it. You might struggle with it. I don't know. Get it in there until faith rises up and you take it. You thank you, Lord, for wisdom. And you say it. I thank you, Lord. I've asked you and I receive from you wisdom. I receive it. Now I'm waiting for it to manifest. I don't know how you're going to show me, but you're going to show me. Thank you, Lord. And then now you're in the thanking mode. I've done this, like had to learn to do this financially. I got a ton of stuff on finances around this, but it's amazing. Like Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I must admit, I struggled with that at first, but when it finally started bearing fruit and springing up in my heart, I could say it, pray it, believe it, declare it over my situation and start receiving from the Lord. It actually happens. And so what happens here is you get it in your mouth, the Word of God, in your heart and in your mouth. That is the, it says, that is the Word of faith that we preach. You get it in your mouth. And what happens when you say it? Hebrews 3:1. Jesus is in heaven. He's the apostle and the priest of our confession. Confession there means we're saying the same thing he says. Okay? He takes that word of faith that we say and is ministering it before the Father. And it comes to us. That's how this thing works. So when I begin to speak in faith out of what Jesus commanded, he begins agreeing with it in heaven, and it starts to get released, and around we go. This is the way this runs. It's an awesome thing. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say praise the Lord. And I know some of you are trying to get a hold of this and get a roadmap for it. Now, I have a roadmap from 2 Peter 1:3, and this is amazing. So we can apply exactly what it says here from the teachings of Peter. And let's read this together out loud, everybody. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us the exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may partake of the divine nature, escaping from the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's the first half of the scripture I'm going to go for, but let me just explain some things. It's interesting. And when it says what's been given to us is exceeding great and precious promises, the Greek word that's given means the extremely precious gift. His promises are an extremely precious gift, epiglema, and it means he has made an emphatic, and I'm getting this right out of the Strong's thing, emphatic public announcement of an obligation to do something. So when it says we have these precious promises, the Greek is saying extremely valuable, emphatic announcement of his obligation to do something. That's how strong this is. And so you can bank on it. It's like having a check, you know, and you can bank on it. And he's obligating himself to do it. And he says, through these you may partake of the divine nature. And the partake means you initiate it and it comes into existence. You can partake of it. You initiate, it comes into existence. That's what that word means. Partake of the divine nature. And what that's about is you're in a partnership, a cooperation, a working with the Lord. Doesn't mean you become God. It means you're now in a life of walking with God, cooperating with God, partnering with God. Wouldn't that be great to partner with God over your life and start with your home and your family and your job and whatever influence you got? It's incredible what's in there. This is so full of meat. If you got one of these little Bible programs for your iPad or something, where you can go along and see the Strong's, you're just like, oh my goodness, this will fill you up for a week as you go through all the little pieces just in this one passage. It's awesome stuff. You can tell I get excited about that. I just get the joy of the Lord. I thought, oh my goodness, I get into some of these passages and I go, it means that? Ah, it way more than the English, you know. So, so there we go. So let's go to the next part. Verse 5. Now here we go. He says, you're going to partake of these promises and believe these promises. Now here's how you apply them. Let's read it. For also by this reason, you give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now, I should explain that the word, when it says at the start, verse 3, that these things have been, everything pertaining to life and godliness is given through knowledge of Him. That word knowledge there actually means knowing Him by a personal experience. Okay, so we receive this, we enter into this by knowing Christ, by personal experience. You've received Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, you can't have this. You've got to start at the start. You need a personal experience with the Lord, or you personally receive Him, personally believe in Him, personally have the Holy Spirit come in. You're born again of the imperishable seed of the Word of God. That's what it says. But now it says, for this reason, give diligence to add your faith, virtue, and virtual knowledge. This is scientific knowledge. This is understanding, okay? And so let's take apart this word by word, because this is important. So you're saying, all right, I've got a situation, Lord. Anybody here saying, I need wisdom? All right, okay, so we're going to apply that right now. I need wisdom. You've got a specific situation. And it's not a Bible situation where you can go to the Word of God and say, there's the will of God according to the Bible. It's like, should I be selling my house and doing this or whatever? You know, it might be that kind of a thing. If you got a Bible situation, you got to obey the Lord. You're fighting with God if you don't. But now we get into the next part. Let's go to the next screen here and see what it says. It says, first of all, you're applying diligence. Okay, so we take this. Lord, if anyone asks you for wisdom, it shall be given him, but don't ask in faith and without doubting. Okay. So I'm going to apply diligence. I'm in earnest. I mean, if you don't really care about it, you're not going to get anywhere. But diligence means, no, I really want this. I'm determined. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be faithful and excellent and apply myself to the promises of God and receive from the Lord as a believer. Now, you can do this for finances and for healing and for, you know, intercession for situation, for your business, for your, you know, I mean, you just, whatever it is. So we're talking about wisdom as an example here. I'm in earnest. I mean it. God, I believe I'm going to get wisdom from you. I'm going to know. I'm going to know that I know that I know what your mind is on this, because I need to know. Okay? So I'm diligent. And then I have faith. Well, faith we know a little bit more about here. You know, it's the James 1 where it says, I ask believing, right? But let's get to the next one. Add to my faith virtue. That means excellence. That means like manliness. That's like, okay, I'm standing. I'm not just in earnest. I'm standing. I'm going to be excellent. I'm going to work it through. I'm going to walk it through. I'm going to be diligent in this thing, you know. You're determined. I had to do this with finances. You know, here, look at, I'll show you. Here's my scripture sheet on finances. Karen and I will pray through this a couple times a month. We have received, you know, when we moved the radio station, we had a whole mountain of extra bills in January, February, March. And we prayed this through and saw thousands and thousands and thousands of unexpected dollars coming in. Seriously. So much so it overflowed and blessed us. It wasn't just the station, it was blessing us. Praise the Lord, because then I wasn't, you know, sacrificing my own salary to do it. And praise the Lord. So, faith. But I determined. I said, Lord, I am going to get this. I am sick and tired of living on the edge of not having enough all the time. I've got to say, you know, the Lord said to me, Terry, I put you in this situation so you will learn to receive from me. And I finally had to say, all right, God, I'm going to learn to receive from you. I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it until it starts to happen. You know, and if I don't do that, nothing's going to happen. Okay? So, virtue, man is. And then knowledge. Knowledge means I'm doing this and I understand what I'm doing. I'm not just flailing around. A lot of you flail around and your prayers are just flailing around. Oh, God, help me. Just fire off a prayer. Oh, God, I'm in this situation. Flailing around prayers. Stop the flailing around prayers. You make yourself a promise right now. I'm not doing a flailing around prayer anymore, Lord. Oh, God, help. I don't know what to do. Oh, la, 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 la. When you're in that situation, go and find what the promise of God is that applies to your situation. You know? Like 3 John chapter verse 2, you know, he says, I pray, beloved, that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I thought, wow, that's a good promise. He wants me to succeed. That's what that prosperity word means there, to succeed. And health, he wants, you know, the sickness and disease and all that's part of the curse. He wants us to have experience healing and miracles. Not to say, oh, well, I guess it's not God's will to heal me. Well, wait a minute. I can show you a dozen scriptures that tell you otherwise. So get a hold of them and start to believe them. You know, so he says here, I'm understanding what I'm doing. And then the next one, if we pop the next screen up, then he says, add to your knowledge self-control. So because I understand what I'm doing, I am going to control how I apply it in my life. I'm stopping my complaining. I'm not going to accuse. I'm not going to give glory to the devil. I'm going to give the Lord the glory, and I'm going to start to thank him and believe it. You got it. Here's Peter says, you've got to do it this way. You put it into a walk. I'm going to do this. And he's telling us how. And so I'm persevering then. Next thing, I'm hanging in there. Patience doesn't happen instantly too often. You're patient. You're pressing on. And then godliness. As you're living this way, it has a godly effect because you're walking with God. You're walking with the Word of God. You're believing the Word of God. It's starting to change what you're like. Up out of your innermost being becomes agreement with the Word of God instead of what's going on in your situation. And then that actually changes how you love others. There's a brotherly love and a care starts to happen. And out of that, also, the love of God is happening, the agape love that he puts into us. And that's the pattern. It goes right through there. Amen? You getting blessed out of this? Okay, so let's just end up. How's my time? I just put there. Philippians 4:19. There's another example. So I'll just do a little test on this one. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, Lord. Father, I'm struggling because I got a need that's not being supplied. God, I'm flailing around. Lord, help me with this. You know, and you say you're there right now, and I've been there. And supply means he causes to abound, to furnish, liberally supply, namely what's necessary for subsistence, to fill you up. That's what it means. Lord, I get this in my heart. I see you said you'll supply my needs, and I'm lacking right now. But Heavenly Father, I've determined to believe it. I'm going to take hold of this and believe it. I'm going to apply it in my life. So the first thing I do is I want faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. I start to say it so I hear it. Hearing. Okay, so I'm going to say it because I hear it. I could hear, you could hear me saying it, but why not hear it for you? Lord, thank you. And I make it personal. Lord, I thank you that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You've got to say it every day, every time you think about your finances, every time you look at the checkbook, every time you've got a bill you can't pay, you pop that scripture out and you say, Lord, you said you'd supply my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you just start working it in. You're diligent to work it in. You persevere. You're getting it in there. You're saying it. You're believing it. You're applying it. And say, I'm not letting go of this thing. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to backtrack. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to accuse God. You don't care about me. See, you're doing the Moses generation things. Notice what Moses generation did? Oh, God, why did you bring us out into this desert? Are you bringing us out here to die? Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. We could have the leeks and onions and all that good food. Yeah, they forgot about being slaves and making bricks 24/7. So, you know, don't be that. Be like Joshua and Caleb. There's giants in the land. Yes, there are, but we're well able to take it. You see? I'm well able to take it. Well, Lord, you said, for us believers here in the Campbell River Vineyard, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And we say yes to you and yes to your word. And we're going to press forward. Make this my own. I want to be what God says I am. A man of faith for you. Men, women of faith. Able to pray in agreement with the word of God. Able to get his will. Confident. Stand. Secure. Maintain your faith. Joyful even in the difficulty, hanging in there, pressing on, believing and receiving what he's promised. That's the heritage, the inheritance that we have in Christ. That's why he gave us these ask and receive verses, so we'd get a hold of this. Hallelujah. So, now, you know, we're going to have communion in a minute. Why don't you, as you come and take communion, come consciously with the understanding that we're receiving what Christ paid for. He paid for it on the cross. And that's what communion's about. And say, Lord, you know, he'll drop scriptures into your head if you've got a situation. And you've read the scripture before, it maybe just pops into your mind, or you might find it. So, Lord, I'm not coming complaining to you today. I'm going to come faith by faith. I want to receive from you, Lord, everything Christ purchased. You know? And be able to walk in that all the rest of my days. And Lord knows with what's going on in the world right now, we need to learn how to walk by faith in the power of God. Hallelujah.